dead center of our work week. Here we sit. Glad to have you with us as we say sayonara Tuesday and cruise forward into a Wednesday, your hump day. It's our hump show after hours with Amy Lawrence. And online, we're giving you a chance to ask Amy anything. We're going to see how Ryan does. Now, he reminded me that when Jay was on vacation following the Super Bowl, he did have a chance to participate in Ask Amy Anything. He even found the clip art that we use at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. And so I do think we can manage this. We're okay. I just say that tongue in cheek. The part that would prevent us moving forward would be if there was no Amy, since it's Ask Amy Anything. But otherwise, I feel like we can change some of the other parameters and some of the other bumpers, if you will, and we'll manage. We'll muddle through. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thinking about the Olympics just a little bit, but I tell you, I got sidetracked again during the break watching the video of a whale who breaches the waters off of a Rye, New Hampshire beach. Now, you may not know where Rye, New Hampshire is, but I've been to that beach, those beaches, more than once. New Hampshire, 9 miles of coastline, live free or die, baby. That's our state motto. And having grown up there, I was proud of our 9 miles of coastline. Anyway, there's rich feeding grounds there, lots of fish in the waters. The whales are there a lot of times during the warmer months when the water is a little bit warmer, and it doesn't ever get that warm, but when it's a little bit warmer, and there's this video that was taken by a nearby boat, a man is fishing, minding his own business, seemingly having a great time out there on his fishing vessel, a relatively small, I can't tell exactly from the video, but it doesn't look like it's more than, say, 25 feet tops, and that might even be a generous estimate. Anyway, the whale, according to the people, biologists, marine biologists who've watched the video, was likely lunging at a school of fish. So it's not like he came out of the water and then slapped down again. It wasn't one of those where you sometimes see the dramatic videos of whales who come up, it's almost like they're putting on a show. They come flying out of the water and then slap their bodies down again. Or, you know, a huge fin comes out of the water and then they slap it down on the surface. No, it wasn't that. It just looks like a whale is lunging and happens to crash into the boat. There's pictures, and thankfully the man on the boat was fine. There were no injuries. There's pictures of the outboard motor that's been damaged by the impact of the whale. Anyway, the boat gets capsized because the whale lands on it just the right way, and he goes flying into the water. I didn't see him fly in until I watched it the second time, but yeah, he's standing up toward the bow, and he's fishing, and as the boat capsizes, he goes into the water. Thankfully, there were people around that were able to get to him, were able to pull him out of the water, and the poor whale is minding his own business, trying to get some lunch, and ends up taking out a boat. Yeah, it's pretty mesmerizing to watch. I can imagine it was terrifying for the guy that was going through it, even though most whale encounters are not attacks on humans, if you will. But maybe people are more heightened in their, I guess, their anxiety over it because of what's been a rash of shark attacks in the waters in many different parts of the Atlantic seaboard and around the country. My husband wanted us to do cage diving with the sharks in Hawaii, and I told him he could absolutely do that. I would go horseback riding. It's not that I wouldn't want to see a shark. I've seen one shark in real life that wasn't in a zoo or an aquarium. It's not that I don't want to see them or wouldn't want to, but I'm not getting in a cage. No, thank you. That sounds a lot like getting trapped in an elevator. No. I don't need to be swimming in their habitat. I'm good watching them from the shore or from a boat.
At that point,
a large boat.
You're disrupting their life. You
yes.
Know?
Yeah, that's their domain.
If you're messing with them, they'll mess with you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good. I like to watch Shark Week. I enjoy some of the dramatic video, but I'm not getting in a cage to go down and hang out with some sharks who might mistake me for a school of fish. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our hump show. You can ask me other questions if you like about 30 minutes from now. Julie is in San Diego and wants to weigh in here on After Hours. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? Well, I'm just laying here thinking about your Walmart situation.
I know. I'm brilliant.
So just have them, just order online, have them bring it out to your car. You don't have to worry about self-checkout.
Mm. Yeah, that is an option, except that I'm a little bit anal retentive about what I choose, meaning I don't want someone else picking my apples, for
picking
instance,
out your, okay,
or my my fruit and vegetables. So I would have no issue with someone picking out our Cheerios or our oatmeal. That wouldn't be an issue, probably. But it's just the principle of the thing.
And have them bring it to your car, yeah, and then go in and get the ones you want to pick.
You're right. I absolutely could. It's just so annoying. It'd be one thing if this was the busiest time of the day, but I'm there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there are no other people waiting in line.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's a rule just for the sake of having a rule. It doesn't even make any sense.
I don't think they have it here in California, but whatever.
Whatever is right. I outsmarted them. I showed them.
Well, I'm going to outsmart them more. Just order the stuff that you don't care about, and then the stuff you want to pick, go do it and do one tie through.
Yeah, although now I think it's kind of fun to screw with them and see how long it takes them to realize that I'm just coming through multiple times. Watch them try to set up a new law or a new rule that says you can't go to the same self-checkout lines twice in one morning. Whatever.
Oh, geez. Well, then you don't want my business. Bye.
Exactly. Exactly. You're already skating on thin ice, Walmart.
Okay. Number two.
Yes.
What do you think about the WNBA All-Star team versus the USA Olympic team? It was kind of embarrassing for the Olympic team, I think. Did they make the wrong choices?
No, I think it's not choices based on talent. It was as alone. It was choices based on A, positions, right? So you've got to have a balance among the positions so that you've got plenty of bodies in case somebody gets hurt, but also you want to have different guards that have different skills, yada, yada, yada. But also about the experience factor. And that's something that really is emphasized now, considering they have just days. They just got to London. They're not even in France yet. They've played essentially two exhibition games to get ready, one against the All-Stars that you're talking about and one against Germany. And I know that
I didn't watch the Germany one. I was at Jewel's concert here in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch it either. I think it was earlier in the day. I could be wrong. Oh, yeah. It was Ryan's telling me it was in the afternoon and I was sleeping. So it was only their second tune-up, if you include the WNBA All-Star game. And so for them to not have a whole lot of time to get ready, I mean, we're talking days to
like
get ready.
Yeah.
It really does matter that they've got athletes who have been there before. They do have a few who haven't, like Sabrina Ionescu, and there's a couple of others who are rookies. But for the most part, they're all over 26, and most of them have played in the Olympics or at least have represented Team USA in a world championship. And I do think that's valuable, considering that you take a lot of younger players or players who have not been there before. The stage and, you know, just in general, the type of play that you get in the Olympics, that could set them back. And while you're in group play, you maybe have one blow-up game that you can get. For the most part, though, you need to hit the court running.
Well, I just have to say, I hope someone doesn't bring any vape pens to Paris.
Any what?
Vape pens.
Oh gosh, yes. Actually, I was thinking about Brittany Griner and wondering what it might be like for her to travel internationally again. And I know that she's nowhere near Russia, and that's not what's happening. But still, just to be back in Europe, I mean, there have to be some flashbacks. Not that she really could ever forget it. I don't know. That's something that you ever quite move past. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, Julie, and the suggestions.
Okay, one more thing about sharks, babe.
Oh yes.
So Sharknado is going to be here in Comic-Con in San Diego starting on Thursday.
Fun. That's fun. I don't mind seeing them on TV. Thank you, Julie.
Have a great day.
Good to talk to you in San Diego. 855-212-4227. Yeah, as we're talking about the Olympics that are coming up and women's basketball in specific, I'm wondering how much people will be interested in watching this group of all-stars that does not include Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and some of the others. Because as we were talking about before the break, the All-Star Game was the most watched WNBA event since the very first week the league ever began playing. That's June 1997. So they're closing in on their 30-year anniversary, a couple of years shy. But according to Sports Media Watch, which is a website that tracks a lot of these different trends and certainly is watching the ratings boon for this league, the All-Star Game, the most watched WNBA event since the league launched in June of 1997. The very first game that was ever on TV had more than 5 million people tuning in. And then the next day, they also had a TV audience of 3.5 million. But since then, the numbers have severely declined. And there can be a lot of reasons. I'm not here to tell you why. But to compare last year's All-Star Game, it was also in prime time and it was on the same network. Not even 1 million people watched. 850,000 people. That's it for last year's WNBA All-Star Game. This year, they end up with nearly 3.5 million viewers, shattering the old record. There are obviously a lot of current and former All-Stars, so a lot of big names that were there, Hall of Famers that were on hand, Dawn Staley, Cynthia Cooper, Lisa Leslie, Sue Bird, Cheryl Swoops. So they attracted a lot of attention in Phoenix. I actually saw that Vanessa Bryant and her three daughters were there on hand as well, which was neat. So yeah, we're talking about a definite bounce from Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and they were on the same team for the first time ever, but how much does that translate to the Olympics? Are these same fans who are interested in seeing Caitlin and Angel and following specifically Caitlin to the pro level, are they also going to watch this women's basketball team after all the controversy of her being left off the roster? Chicago Johnny is listening in Vegas. How are you, friend?
Doing well, Amy. How are you? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Oh, I think it's been a week or so.
Yeah. Now, I have a question, but before that, I have a Walmart story to tell you.
Oh, okay.
While you're shopping, did you ever get hungry?
Oh, yes. In fact, sometimes I can't even make it through the store. I have to open up the bag of goldfish or the bag of chips to get me through the rest of the shopping trip.
Many, many times I will make a sandwich and eat
no.
it right there.
No.
I've done it. I get a Kaiser roll. I get some ham. I get some cheese. I make me a sandwich while I'm shopping.
I mean, as long as you're paying for it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Amy. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So funny. I think there's two kinds of people in the world, Chicago Johnny. The kind of people who try their grapes and their cherries and their berries before they buy them, and the kind that don't. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather, whenever we would go to the grocery store when I was a kid, he would always sample the grapes and sample the cherries to make sure that they were great tasting. And so that's what I do. My mom, it was only until, you know, I got into high school, maybe or college, my mom was like, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Grandpa always did it, but you're not actually supposed to be sampling the fruit.
Well, I make me a nice sandwich. I get a nice Kaiser roll.
Nice.
I get some ham, cheese, put it all together, and I eat the sandwich. I love shopping. So I love doing that.
Terrific.
But my question is, what other than sand volleyball, what is your favorite sport to watch?
Swimming. By far, swimming is my favorite in the Summer Olympics. Not that I won't watch others. I do love the sprinting. I love the track more than I like the field, but I really enjoy the track events. Love the gymnastics as well, both the men's and the women's. I'm always so dazzled by the artistic and the athletic elements of these Olympians. And of course, Simone Biles is, I mean, she's already writing history. I'm trying to think of some of the others that I enjoy. I do like the soccer, though. I kind of feel like as much as soccer is interesting when you have it invested kind of, well, you're invested in the outcome. There's so many other sports that it's hard to spend all that time invested in one particular soccer match. I'll probably tune in and out. Looking forward to the new one called Breaking. Breaking. That's break dancing.
Chicago Never heard Johnny. Of that one.
What's brand new in Penny?
I won't be watching that one.
But don't you want to see what happens? I kind of do.
No, not breaking. No. I have no interest in that whatsoever. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, gosh.
But, hey, did you ever see the watch the original Dream Team?
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh. That was when I was cutting my teeth on the NBA and on basketball. And Larry Bird's my all-time favorite athlete. So late 80s, early 90s is when I was falling in love with hoops. And that's actually when I decided that I wanted to get into this business, or that when I considered sports to be a business for the first time ever, a particular option. So, yeah, I love that Dream Team.
Yeah, I got to watch the watch them in person in Indiana.
Whoa.
It was just a practice game. They were unbelievable.
That's amazing.
And there will never be another Dream Team like them.
No.
I mean, it wasn't a question if they're going to win. It's a question by how much.
Yeah. And who would be the MVP? And yeah, that was. I still can remember the medal ceremony. Just the all of them crowded up there, and the smiles, and the various superstars, Hall of Famers, almost all of them. Right? I guess I have to go back and look to see if all. Well, Christian Laettner wasn't a Hall of Famer, but just the camaraderie and the way they came together, and really not having a whole lot of time to prepare for it, just deciding they were going to win. And yeah, it was a novelty. It was something new. And like I tell young people, like Ryan, he would be a great example. Sad sap for never having seen, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Wayne Gretzky. I could go on and on. Never saw any of those guys play. I kind of feel like you're missing out if you never saw the 92 Dream Team.
It's unbelievable.
Sorry,
and
Ryan.
It is a fact that Michael Jordan did have a say and not having
Isaiah Thomas.
He did not want him on a team.
So. Well, that's true. Yeah, a lot of those stories have come out. So, okay, I feel like you need to get some sleep.
No, I'm doing fine. I listen to you all night. And then finally by 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning,
I'm headed to the grocery store.
Yeah, then I go to sleep. But, hey, seriously, try making a sandwich one time.
I could clearly see myself in the back corner of the store grabbing a package of pepperoni and also having some sliced cheese. They're right next to each other in neighboring refrigerated cases. And I could absolutely see me opening up a package of cheese, maybe a slice of provolone, and throwing some pepperoni on it and forming a little cheese and pepperoni sandwich. Delicious.
Yeah. And just take it right down the aisle. Doesn't matter where you're at. It's back of the store.
As long as the packages are not back on the shelves, I think we're good.
Yeah. So I make you a nice sandwich.
I like it.
And I'm all happy. Amy,
a happy Chicago Johnny is happy for all of us. Good to talk to you, too. Thanks for listening in Vegas. Always, he is a faithful listener. Ryan, if you mess up, he will call and he will make sure you know that you made me sound bad. That's what he does. He gets angry at people who work on the show who he thinks reflects poorly on me. So just be careful is all I'm saying. Be careful before you decide you actually want this job, because Chicago Johnny will listen and will pay attention like a hawk.
I've talked to him a few times.
A few times already?
Yeah, it's been like at least five.
Whoa! You guys are becoming BFFs.
Well, I was the first. Was that the first person he called since he had the Ma Museum? And he was like, hey, I was with you in Vegas. And I'm like, no.
Uh-oh.
And he was trying to explain that he took you and Jay in the Mob Museum. And I was like, I'm not Jay.
Uh-oh.
And he was, that's when he talked to you.
Was he so disappointed?
No, he was just, he had the right spirit.
He recovered nicely.
Yeah.
Kick, save, and a beauty. All right. So we'll get to a few more of your calls if you want. 855-212-4227. But did you know the Niners, they're talking about Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk is on fire. That's not my call. I can't take credit for that. That's the Niners Radio Network. So we'll hear a little bit from the Niners. And then also, they don't have a quarterback controversy. A couple of the teams do have quarterback battles. Want to hear the latest from Denver. I don't know if you'd call New England a battle necessarily. If it is, there might be a problem. But yeah, some QB news as well. No Aaron Rodgers. Dang. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Purdy sends Kittle in motion right. Purdy out of the shotgun, drops a couple of steps, going to take a deep shot to Brandon Ayuk. It's the flag.
Oh, he caught it!
He caught! Ayuk caught it out of the air. A flag is also down. Did Ayuk score? He got touchdown on the 2-yard line. McCaffrey runs around. Purdy pressured. Purdy throws. Caught by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Ayuk! Ayuk! Ayuk is on fire!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss this. I miss NFL play-by-play on the Niners Radio Network. Greg Papa and is it Tim Ryan, I think, who does the analysis? Please don't yell at me if I got that wrong, but I'll get back to the winning combinations, knowing the winning combinations on each of these NFL radio networks. But for now, we know it's the Niners. And yes, Brandon Ayuk is certainly a valuable piece of what the Niners want to do in the upcoming season. He's been so valuable to them, along with Christian McCaffrey and certainly Brock Purdy and Greg Kittle. Greg, I do that all the time. George Kittle. The number of times I've called him Greg, I have no idea why. Sometimes you get it stuck in your head and you know why. No idea why. From the very first year that he was on the field with the Niners, I was accidentally calling him Greg. And I hadn't done it in a really long time. There.
Greg and George, both G's.
I know, but it's why though? His very name is similar. George. I will hug him and squeeze him and call him George. There's actually a drop in our system of... Shoot, it's a cartoon. It's an old Bugs Bunny bit where there's I think it's an abominable snowman or some type of a monster who hugs him and squeezes him and calls him George. Anyway, it's George Kittle, if I could just remember that. At least I got it out of the way early. I called him Greg before the season ever started, so I might not get to it again. The big question mark for the Niners is Brandon Ayuk. And even though he is asking for a trade, even though he is disgruntled and has formally requested a move out of the Bay Area, the Niners, at this point, have no plans to move him.
We've had great communication. We started this really early. We made it a priority to try to get done. We've had excellent communication throughout.
Huh.
Really don't want to characterize. We haven't been able to, and that's a shame. But we're Brandon's a big part of our team, and we expect that he will be this year.
Working on a contract, we fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team, like he has been, and we're excited about that. So even though he has requested a trade, the Niners, while they would like to get the new deal done, that's what you hear from General Manager John Lynch. Yeah, doesn't seem like they are in any way inclined to entertain the idea of trading him.
I'm impatient, and it's I like going. And I think, again, we've had a lot of really talented players, and it's, I think put our track record against anybody in terms of getting players signed. I wish it could happen quicker. you know, and, you know, but I'm proud of our record.
For sure, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch as a tag team, and because of the success they've had and the teams they've put together, they generally do find a way to make these things happen. They've been very active since they took over the Niners with the draft and draft day deals and free agency and bringing in guys that they believe will be instrumental in getting them to the ultimate goal, which is another Super Bowl win. Now, they just haven't been able to win one yet, but we've seen them knock on the door a few times, and Lynch expects that all of the Niners will report for camp. And if that doesn't include Ayuk, though they're speaking positively, they're speaking it into existence, you know, they're going to end up suffering fines. That's kind of the deal with training camp. I understand if you get a contract that's worth, let's say, $80 million guaranteed. I'm just ballparking here. I have no idea what they would give him guaranteed or what he would make. But if you do have $80 million guaranteed, you hold out and you finally get that in your contract, well, what's a couple hundred thousand dollars from not showing up for camp? I guess it doesn't matter, really. But, yeah, I prefer the way that Jordan Love is doing it. He's there. He's in camp. He's working. He's getting ready. He's going through meetings. He's getting in shape, but just isn't going to practice until that contract is done. And that, to me, seems like a happy compromise, if you will. Or I heard some NFL analysts call it a hold-in. Not a hold-out, but a hold-in. Ayuk is into the final year, the fifth year of his rookie contract, and has not been happy with the way the contract negotiations have gone. And you can hear John Lynch say that he's impatient. He wanted it to be done now. And it's just not. It's been complicated. And so for that reason, you know, they remain on opposite sides. It's getting close. I mean, I understand you'd want to have it done before the season started, but I can't imagine that Brandon Ayuk would want to forfeit an entire season. That's why generally teams win these battles and players very rarely will hold out long enough for it to make any kind of a difference. Because think about it, the average NFL career isn't even 5 years long. And here he is, you know, he's on a team with an offense that is going to be one of the best in the NFC as long as it remains healthy, especially if you consider Brock Purdy is now going into his second full season as the starter and coming off of this offseason where he's healthy, right? That's something that Kyle Shanahan noted. This is not a Brock Purdy that they're waiting for him to recover from the elbow injury. Now it's a Brock Purdy who's been able to stay in shape and work through most of the summer.
You know, I felt good about him last year and just talking to him every day and watching his rehab. He looked great, but it's still a scary injury. And you got to be, you're nervous when he comes back. This year, just being able to go through an offseason that just wasn't in the film room. That was the film room and the football field was great. I know he had a good 40 days away. Awesome that he got married. And I think he's in a great spot in his life, great spot physically. And I'm just pumped to start tomorrow with him.
I like that. Kyle Shanahan, awesome that he got married. And as for George, I will hug him and squeeze him and call him George Kittle. Important to stay in shape in the offseason. And he's always a part of that tight end camp. It seems like they run that for a few weeks. But that's in part to have some of the best tight ends in the nation get together, and that way they can push each other and can stay in shape.
You know, it was kind of an odd offseason because I couldn't train the way that I usually train. You know, a lot of it was recovery. But I was able to, through OTAs, June and July, kind of get back into the rhythm that I wanted to get back into and feel prepared to start training camp.
Yeah, so the major question for the Niners is really about Ayuk. And if you consider what's happened the last few months, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, that goes back earlier in this offseason, but A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith getting top market deals, right? Let's see. Amon-Ra St. Brown was another one who got a deal. Jaylen Waddle. And these are certainly receivers that you would call his peers. Justin Jefferson, now he's upper echelon and right now probably considered the best receiver in the NFL. Highest paid non-quarterback in the league, and his is $35 million per season. But these other guys, you're talking about between $25 and $32 million per year. For Brandon Ayuk, absolutely would expect that he would fall in that field somewhere. In the final year of his rookie deal, right now he's slated to make just over $14 million. But according to a lot of the different reports, they're not actually close on a deal, which is why the frustration. Now, maybe it was more about Ayuk's camp trying to put pressure on the Niners by asking for a trade. I can't imagine there's any real scenario in which the Niners would trade him. Yeah. And they can afford to wait him out, right? They can. And I don't afford as in money. They can afford to wait him out. And they right now fully intend, they're towing that line, fully intend for Ayuk to be a Niner. It's a little bit like one of those breakups. Well, if I can't have you, then no one else can. No, it's not that vindictive. All right, you've got a couple of minutes left to send some questions for Ask Amy Anything. We'll see how Ryan does. I'm going to make it kind of a free-for-all. Ryan, are you ready? Have you been looking at our two sites?
Yes, I have questions written down that are good.
Written down. I like it. That's impressive. So not even using the power of the computer and the printer. Sometimes the printer doesn't work anyway. So you can do that. A couple minutes left if you want to send them at A-Law Radio or our show account at Amy After Hours. And then also on our Facebook page, Ryan is watching. Great to have you with us. Good morning to you. If it's your Wednesday, your hump day, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
All right. We can do this. It's not rocket science, right? We've managed to keep it alive for the better part of 11 years. We're bringing it back on a tentative basis, although I can't promise you it'll be back next week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ryan has done this at least once before, and he's been jotting down notes. I see him in there taking phone calls, looking for the drop from Bugs Bunny that he hasn't quite found yet.
I couldn't find it. I don't know what the character's name is.
I don't either. You will hug him and squeeze him and call him George. You might just have to YouTube it and see if you can find it. Are you ready for Ask Amy Anything?
I am.
Should I be ready for anything out of left field?
No. I hope not.
Me too.
I'm going to start with a question from Twix, from Don. It's kind of a long-winded question.
Oh,
what is one movie/TV show, one meal, and one song you would listen to for the rest of your life?
Well, if we're talking movies, it would be Return of the Jedi or even the Empire Strikes Back. I love Star Wars, and I could watch that movie over and over and over again. Although I do have some classics that I really love, too. Let's see. Gone with the Wind. Wizard of Oz, though maybe I'm a little bit too old for that now. Sound of Music, that's a terrific one as well. Let's see. The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson. Love that movie, too. Castaway with Tom Hanks. Oh, my goodness. There's so many elements that you can peel back there. But yeah, so I'll go with Star Wars, but I'm a big movie buff. Meal? Let's see. Anything with shrimp. If I could only have one for the rest of my life, probably some type of seafood or shrimp pasta with a spicy marinara sauce.
Ooh.
Like an arrabbiata, something along those lines.
Way too fancy for me.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. It just can be tasty. So yeah, that's probably a meal that I could eat over and over. But also chili. I love chili. I can make about 8 different versions of chili. I just made some for my husband and I on Sunday. I had to ask him first, though, because it's warm. It's hot and humid out. I said, are you the type of person that only eats chili in the winter? Because some of my friends are like that. He said, nope. So we had chili and some bread and butter. Oh, so good. Okay. What was the last thing?
One song.
One song. If I could only listen to one song for the rest of my life. Wowzers, that's a really good question. Huh. It's Your Love by Tim and Faith. I can listen to that one over and over again. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Amazing Grace, that's another song. I love to play it on the piano, but could also listen to it over and over. I'm trying to think of some kind of classical music that I could, anything by John Williams I could probably listen to over and over. The Superman theme.
Ooh, that's a good one. Indiana Jones is
also really good too. John Williams is terrific. It was such a privilege to be able to see him conduct in person last year in Massachusetts. Okay, I feel like I've sufficiently answered, probably more than we needed.
Yep. Next question, Tab and Mike from Facebook. They both had the same question, same idea. Oh, when you were growing up, what was your favorite Olympic moment or memory?
Oh, gosh. Well, I loved Greg Louganis, the diver, when I was younger, and so I used to love to watch him. Carl Lewis in the long jump, or Carl Lewis in the track and field. Florence Griffith Joyner, Jackie Joyner Kersee. But actually, Flojo was probably my favorite. And then big into the figure skating when I was a kid. So Michelle Kwan, Katarina Witt, Debbie Thomas. These are all memories of mine from past Olympics. So I've always loved the track. I've always loved the gymnastics. And, of course, absolutely love the swimming. For those of you who are 80s babies or 90s kids, you may remember Janet Evans. She was a long-distance swimmer for Team USA. And I never missed a race that she swam in.
Swam.
There's a great debate. She won. Never missed a race that she won. How about that?
Another quick one. John, definitely a Bills fan from Facebook. Uh-huh. Blue cheese or ranch?
Blue cheese.
No question?
No question. I don't even like ranch dressing, but since he's from Buffalo, that's what you just said, he's asking about the sauce or the dressing that you'd use with wings. And I'm a blue cheese girl all the way.
And this means boneless or bone in?
I mean, I'll eat chicken tenders / boneless wings, but they're not really wings if they don't have the bone, right?
Well, it's the same type of... I'm a boneless defender.
Right. I don't mind it. I'll eat it because you get more chicken seemingly that way, but it's not a wing.
It's part of the... It's the concept. It's the sauce and the chicken.
Uh-huh. It's not a wing is all I'm saying.
It's the idea.
It's the principle is what you're saying.
It's the principle of chicken with sauce.
Okay, but Buffalo. You can't call it a wing. So in Buffalo, what they eat is wings.
Yeah, it's too much work, though. That's another point.
It's too much work.
It's too much work to get the bones out.
Nice.
Okay.
Ryan gives up easily.
I do. It's not worth the mess on your hands.
That sounds a bit like Gen Z.
Yeah, I could just use a fork and eat my chicken tender.
You use a fork with your chicken tender?
No, with the wings. Oh. I don't want the sauce on my hands.
Okay. Wow.
What? That's not that weird.
Okay. You use a wing. I mean, a fork with your chicken wings. I've never heard of that in my life.
Not the wing. Bone in of the boneless ones.
So he also wants them without bone, and that way he doesn't have to worry about using a fork and not getting sauce on his hands.
Yes.
This is like Ask Ryan Anything.
Well, no. Okay. I was proving the point that boneless wings aren't that bad. But Chuck,
they're just not wings. But okay.
Chuck from Twix, besides teaching and photography, what else would you consider yourself to be an expert in?
Radio. I don't know that I'm an expert in teaching. I'm definitely an expert at radio. I can teach radio, and that would be something that's right in my wheelhouse. What else? Running half marathons really slowly. Moving. Oh, my gosh. Ask my husband. I am an expert packer. I can pack anything. I can pack and plan like nobody's business. I've been doing that my whole life. And of course, baking cookies. That's another thing that I would consider myself an expert in. The first time that I ever had a conversation, would you call it a conversation, with Ryan, I offered him a muffin, and he looked like he was scared to death. He was very intimidated just because I offered him a muffin. And he said no. We got off on the wrong foot. You know that it's a requirement. If you work on this show, you have to eat the baked goods.
It was very scary, okay?
What? It wasn't scary. It was a muffin.
It was 4 a.m., first ever time doing the morning show, and I was nervous.
And so I scared you with the muffin.
Yes, it was like, muffin? I was like, ah.
Okay. All right. Once again, Gen Z, scare easily.
I'm just saying, it's not that bad. Carlos on Facebook asks, if you could go back to your high school years.
Oh, no way.
But you could not change a thing.
Uh-huh.
Would you do it?
No. I wouldn't go back to my 20s or my 30s for all the money in the world. I don't care how much you pay me. I wouldn't do it. I like who I am now. I have better relationships in my life now. I was dumb. I was stupid. I was insecure. I made a lot of mistakes that cost me a bunch of heartache and other people, I'm sure. I didn't have a great relationship with my mom then. I mean, I wouldn't trade it. Not to mention I waited a long time to get married, and there is absolutely no way that I'd go back and wait through all this time again. So I am perfectly happy being old and content with where I am in my life. Sorry, Rye. I already lived through a ton of you-know-what in my career. To get to this point, I had to wade through a lot of poo. So I'm not going back and doing that again either.
David from Facebook asks, do you have any irrational fears or phobias?
Spiders. Deathly afraid of spiders. Deathly afraid of spiders.
Even the small ones?
Even the small ones. I don't care. I have, like, involuntary screaming when there are spiders. Yeah. Not afraid of heights. Not afraid of a whole lot. But spiders do it for me.
Ugh.
Yeah. They're creepy.
Nest in your ears.
No, stop it!
Ugh. What?
Don't put that thought in my head. I can't even watch the movie Arachnophobia.
That's fine. And then the last question here. Gut Boy from Twix, what's your favorite post-half marathon meal?
Oh, yum. Well, I do love big, large omelets with sweet potato fries. There's a particular diner that I go to post-half marathons. So sweet potato fries alongside my omelet with everything. Usually sour cream, but then are you ready? You have to cap it off with a piece of homemade pie. And this particular diner, they'll do a coconut pie, coconut cream pie, or some kind of crazy layered chocolate cake. So yes, there has to be a big dessert at the end after eating usually an omelet and some sweet potato fries. So that's one of my victory meals. Haha. Victory just meaning I got through the whole thing and I didn't collapse. My next half marathon is scheduled for end of September. So this weekend actually is my first serious training run. I just needed to not be hot and humid like it is in the hallways downstairs when we attempt to enter and leave the building. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.